Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 24, and we continue looking at God's heroes. And my simple premise is that if you want to be God's hero, all that is required is that you receive in faith His love. If you'll receive in faith His love and then share His love, you can become God's hero. It may help you to find this little sheet of paper entitled See and Be God's Hero, and we'll focus today on patient Isaac and a remarkable young woman named Rebecca, truly God's heroes. As we begin to look at this study, I heard a funny comment the other day, and I really liked it. This wise observer said, "Ladies, did you know that an archaeologist makes for the best husband? Because if you're married to an archaeologist, the older you grow, the more interested he becomes." There you go. Well, the real lover, the ultimate lover, is not an archaeologist. It's the Lord Himself. And we've come today to hear afresh and anew that God has this unconditional, unbreakable, unstoppable, unlimited love for you. And if you ever doubt it, just focus on the cross. God has demonstrated His great love for you. And that while you were yet a sinner, when you were at your ugliest, when you were at your most rebellious, He died for you. That's what the cross says. God loves you more than you can imagine or fathom. And today we want to picture, again, God's love. And that's why I want to ask you a question at the outset of this message. Do you feel loved? Would you fill in that first blank? Do you feel loved? You see, a lot of times we do not, and yet we are wired to crave unconditional love, unlimited love, unstoppable love. That's how God made us. I was talking yesterday to Ruth Mason. Ruth Mason and I were talking because yesterday her husband Reggie, after 72 years of marriage, he died. And I called Ruth, and oh, her heart was broken even over the phone. She said, "Jay, I know that we've been married for 72 years, but it wasn't long enough." And then do you know what she said next? She said, "I have loved that man so deeply, and he has loved me so deeply. This morning, I have cried enough tears to sail a ship in." She said, "My heart is empty and my home is empty because Reggie is gone. Oh yes, I know where he is. I know he is home with the Lord." But then she said these profound words. She said, "Jay, you're so blessed to have Mary Ruth. She loves you. You love her, and don't ever take her for granted." My friend, sometimes we take for granted the fact that people around us love us. But I can assure you the people around you will let you down. They will hurt you. At best, all of us are fickle lovers. But God is faithful. He loves us with an everlasting love. He makes an unbreakable promise. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, "Nothing can separate you from my love. Nothing in hell, nothing in heaven, nothing on earth. I love you with an unconditional, unlimited, unbreakable love." That's the essence of the good news. And that's what we'll see on display today, as we see God's love unveiled in the lives of four characters. And let's start right here. As we come to Genesis 24, verse 1, would you make this note? Number one, the Father's desire. The Father's desire. In Genesis 24, I have extracted a beautiful love story, and it's a picture of how God loves us. Well, let's begin with the Father's desire, and we start here with our hero, Abraham. Let's look at the first few verses. Genesis 24, verse 1. "Now, Abraham was old, advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, his name is Eleazar, the oldest of his household, who he had in charge of all he owned, "Please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I live. But you shall go to my country, to my relatives, and take a wife for my son Isaac." The servant said to him, "Well, suppose the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to that land where you came from?" Abraham said, "Beware lest you take my son back there." Verse 7 is pivotal. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me, who swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there." Now, this is the father's desire. Abraham now is 140 years old. Isaac is about 40, and he has been a very patient guy. I mean, he was patient in the process of being sacrificed to the Lord, and I can imagine that that young boy in that moment got a little squirmy, but he trusted his father, he trusted the Lord. And here is patient Isaac. He's 40 years old. He's ready to get married and have a family. But his dad said, "You can't marry one of these Canaanite girls. These Canaanite girls, I know, they're good looking. They make their own veils and their own clothes, and they tame their own camels, and they got the majority of their teeth. I mean, I know that they're fine young women, but they're not for you, because there's a problem. They're idol worshipers. They don't worship our God." So he agreed. He patiently agreed. So Abraham had a plan. The father always has a plan now. Trust the father has a plan for you. And Abraham brought Eleazar, and he said, "Eleazar, go back to my hometown, and there I want you to find a young lady that would be appropriate for my son to marry." Now, you've heard of giving somebody a high five. This is a thigh high. So he said, "Place your hand under my thigh." That was the way, shake on it. That was like, shake on it. And so he put his hand under his thigh, and they made a deal. And he said, "You go by my hometown, and you find the girl for my boy." All right, that's the father's desire. Now, there's two transferable truths that are timely and timeless that I want you to pick up on. Look at these two. First of all, the father has a plan for you. The father has a plan for you. In the same way Abraham had a plan for Isaac, our heavenly father has a plan for you. He has a roadmap for your journey. And here's what he wants. He wants you to understand and trust Jeremiah 29:11. Please refer to your worksheet. What does it say? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope." You see, God wants you to dial into his frequency. It says in John 10, verse 27, Jesus is speaking. He said, My sheep know my voice. They hear me and they follow me. And the goal of God is for you to know his word and do his will and walk in his way. He has a plan and a purpose for your journey, my friend. He doesn't want you to waste your life. Furthermore, look at the B part. The father has a plan for you, and B, the father wants the best for you. You see, God knew those Canaanite women. They were idol worshipers. They were at heart pagan, and they weren't right for his boy. And I'm here to tell you that God wants the best for you, his children. Now, let me take just a moment and emphasize what it says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Listen, please, very carefully. "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" You see, this is my opportunity to reiterate to you that God calls you to be equally yoked. That means to be connected to a fellow believer. I've done many weddings, somewhere around 850 to 900. I do a ton of weddings. That means I've done a lot of marriage counseling. And sometimes people get off track. What people do is they get infatuated with somebody and they get focused on their face, or they get focused on their finances, or they get focused on their family, or their fame, and they don't see their faith. You see, the key feature of a great marriage partner is not the exteriors, it's the interior. It's their faith, it's their heart. Because out of your beliefs, then you create behaviors. And if your belief is rooted and grounded and governed by your relationship to Jesus Christ, that makes you a tremendous person. I don't care what your face looks like. If your faith is right, you're right. I've met many a person, and they focused on a dimple, and they married a devil. That's how it worked. They got off track. And you know that story is true, and it's repeated all the time. But there's a better way. Listen to what God says. He's got a plan for you. He don't want you to marry a Canaanite. He wants you to marry a Christ follower. That's the bottom line. He wants that because he wants the best for you. Let's go to number two. The picture continues. There's first the father's desire. And secondly, the servant's dedication. The father's desire and the servant's dedication. Pick up again in verse 10. Genesis 24, verse 10. Keep your Bible open. The servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master, and he set out with a variety of good things from his master's hand. And he arose and he went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside of the city by the well of the water at evening time, the time when the women would go out to draw water. He said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today. Show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom the Lord has appointed for thy servant Isaac. And by this I will know that thou hast shown loving kindness to my master. Look at verse 15. And it came about that before he had even finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Melchi, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. And the girl was very beautiful, a virgin that no man had had relations with. And she went down to the spring and filled her water and came up. Oh, this is starting to get interesting. Are you following the track here? You see the servant's dedication. Before Eleazar had even finished praying this prayer, which is essentially a prayer fleece. You know, Lord, would you help me out here? I don't know what this girl looks like. Would you give me a sign? And the sign is that she is kind and compassionate, and she wants to give me a drink of water. And not only give me a drink of water, she's willing to give my camels a drink of water. Show me a sign. Well, he hadn't even finished praying until here comes Rebekah. And I'm telling you, Rebekah, she must have been a special young lady. She comes walking up to do the evening chore of drawing water. And as she comes up, she instantly is drawn to this stranger, and she offers him a drink of water. And then she doesn't stop there. She offers to water his camels. Now think about that for a moment. A camel can drink from 10 to 20 gallons of water. There are 10 camels. So you're talking about drawing 200 gallons of water out of a well? I like this lady already. Now, she is a worker. And she is kind. She is a person of compassion and hospitality. So she comes up, and this is the one. This is the one. Well, here's what I want you to understand. He quickly, I'll cut to the chase. He was so excited, his heart was just leaping inside of his chest. And he says, oh, Rebekah, let me tell you who I'm here representing. It sounds like one of the bachelorette programs, you know, on TV. I'm here representing the chief bachelor in the whole Middle East. His name is Isaac. He's 40 years old, never been married. He's just ridiculously good looking, and he is wealthy beyond imagination. And he needs a wife from this area. Would you be interested, darling? Well, her curiosity was hooked, and then he amplified it by giving her some golden bracelets. He gave her the prize gold nose ring. Yes, he did. They had piercing back then. He gave her a golden nose ring and bracelets for her wrist and for her ankles. She was impressed. She said, why don't you come home and meet my family? We got plenty of hay and water for the camels, and we got food for you, friend. You're my relative. Come on in. Do you know what this servant represents? Let me give you two insights. Please mark this down. The servant represents the Holy Spirit. The servant represents the Holy Spirit. Listen, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, was this some sort of accident that Eleazar met Rebecca, or was this a divine appointment? Oh, I believe it was a divine appointment. And that's how God works in our life. You see, He is guiding our path. Listen to what Jesus said in John 16. Please note on your worksheet, but I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, who is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I will go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. You see, that's how God draws you to Himself. This is a picture of God being at work in our lives. He convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Let me give you an example. We have recently hosted, when one of the churches hosting the Judgment House, we did it for 15 nights. And God's Holy Spirit took up camp there. It was amazing. We had 391 people that gave their life to Christ. But let me tell you about the first three. I was there. I presented the gospel after they'd walked through and they'd seen this car wreck and the picture of judgment and heaven and hell. And so the gospel was shared. And three people, there were actually a good many more, but three people that I got to talk with told me their story. This man had worked for 16 years at AUM. He was there with his wife and teenage son. And with a heartfelt testimony, he said, yeah, I'm from Montgomery, Alabama. I know a lot about Jesus, but I've never connected with Him until tonight. God has drawn me to this place. He has drawn my family here. And we are ready to follow Jesus. Did that have to do with the power of the presentation or the power of the gospel? Of course not. You know what that had to do with? Do you know what that's all about? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Convicting that man of sin, righteousness, and judgment, pricking his heart to go to that presentation, piquing his ears so that he hears the gospel and doesn't reject it. That's how you and I came to Christ, friends, because God's Spirit drew us and convicted us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. This is a picture of God at work. And what's more, the servant, the B part, the servant also represents us. The servant represents us. You see, once we connect to Christ, our job, like Eleazar's job, is to serve our Master. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for His sake." The bondservant, a doulos, is one who chooses to serve. You are not conscripted, you're not drafted, you're not forced to serve. You choose to serve. And that's what I am. I am His bondservant. And God's design for your life, once you connect to Him, is to emulate Jesus and serve His purpose. Come with me to number three. The third character is a portrait. And the third character is the bride's decision. Let's focus in for a moment on Rebecca. Come with me to verse 54. The bride's decision. Oh, what a moment here. Then he and the men who were with him, they ate and drank, and they spent the night. When they arose in the morning, Eleazar said, "Send me away now to my master." But Rebekah's brother and her mother said, "Let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10, and afterwards she may go." But Eleazar said to them, "Do not delay me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the girl and consult her and see what she wishes." So they called Rebecca and they said to her, "Will you go with this man?" Now they're asking, will she leave her family and her friends and everything she's known for her entire life and go off with a stranger that she's known for less than 24 hours and follow by faith this possibility of connecting to a husband she's never met? Hey, ladies, what would you say? Sign me up or get out of here. What would you say? I mean, this is quite a moment. All right, watch this. Verse 58. And they called Rebekah. They said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Radical faith. Ultimate resolve. Thus they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse with Abraham's servants and his men. And they blessed Rebekah. They said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s. May your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. And Rebekah arose with her nurse. They mounted the camels, and they followed the man. Oh, this is so rich. Let me show you three things real quick. You see, Rebekah's decision is a parallel to our decision. You see, Rebekah has decided three things. A, the bride accepts the offer. That's what we see here. The bride accepts the offer. She said an enthusiastic yes. She had to decide then and there. He said, I'm leaving tomorrow. You can either be with me or not. And that reminds me of how Jesus operated. Jesus walked up to fishermen on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible said that Peter and Andrew, James and John, they left their nets, their livelihood, their family, their friends, and they chose to follow Jesus. There was a demarcation drawn in the sand of their life, and they chose to step on the other side. That's how Jesus operates. He said to the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, he said, yeah, you're a great guy. You're a Hebrew hunk. Come and follow me, and you'll be wealthy in heaven. And tragically, the rich young ruler, he said, no. You know, I've got a lot of property. I can't just have a fire sale. Maybe he thought in his mind later. But he missed the boat. The boat left the harbor. You see, Jesus never picked him back up. So you got to decide, are you in or out? Will you fish or cut bait? I mean, the call of Jesus is, let's go. And to her great credit, she said yes. Do you remember the thieves that died beside Jesus on the cross? They represent all of humanity. They represent every person in this room. And one thief mocked Jesus. As they died together, he relentlessly ridiculed the Redeemer, and the other thief repented with sincerity and brokenness. He said, Jesus, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And what did Jesus say? He said, today, you will be with me in paradise. My friends, that's the ultimate illustration that you either receive or reject Christ. She received the offer. B, the bride proceeds by faith. The bride proceeds by faith. Please make that note. The bride proceeds by faith. She was hearing and hoping. She wasn't sure. She had no reliable information that Eleazar was on the level, that there really wasn't Isaac. I mean, this could all be a trap and a ruse. But in faith, she proceeded. Do you know what faith is? Forsaking all, I trust him. F-A-I-T-H. Embed that in your thinking. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's what real faith looks like. And we learn in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what he requires. That's what he demands. And once you connect to him, once you proceed in faith, then watch this. Then you get the reward. The bride was rewarded. Not only was it not a ruse, but it was ultimate riches. She was rewarded. Isaac was the real deal. Abraham was the real deal. And she becomes part of the lineage that will produce Jesus Christ, the Savior of humanity. And my friend, when you come to Christ, you are rewarded. Jesus said in John 10:10, that I came to give you life, life in its abundance. I'm not going to give you the short end of the stick. I'm not going to give you the low road. I'm going to give you the best. I'm going to give you life in its abundance. And in John 14, he says, In my Father's house, there are many mansions, and I go and prepare a place just for you. This is the promise of God. This is the reward of God. Well, we're nearly finished. Let's go to number four. This is the son's delight. The son's delight. Pick up in verse 62 and see the ending of this beautiful story. The son's delight. Now, verse 62 says, and Isaac came from going to Beer Lahai-Roi, where he was living in the Negev, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. He lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, Esau camels coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted her camel. She said to the servant, Eliezer, who is that man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, he is my master. Then she took her veil and she covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her in to his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah and she became his wife. And he loved her. Oh, my friend, the son's delight. Do you know who the real bridegroom is? It's Jesus. Do you know who the real bride is according to Ephesians 5? Me, you. We're the bride of Christ. And we delight the son when in faith we choose to receive him. Well, here's the bottom line, friend. If you came to this place and you wondered if you were loved, you are loved with an everlasting love that is unconditional, unlimited, unbreakable. And that love is reflected in what Christ has done for you on the cross. For God so loved the world, he so loved you that he gave his only son. And if you would believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. Receive it, share it, and you will be God's beloved hero. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful portrait of your love for us in the love story of Isaac and Rebekah. Lord, thank you for not only loving us, but for choosing us and inviting us to know the depth and the breadth of your love. Lord, would you right now unleash your Spirit, your convicting Holy Spirit, to draw people to yourself and to your service. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.